We've been talking about being superheroes, right? About coming into our spiritual phone booth and coming out of it with this sense that God has equipped us to shed our hang-ups and our hurts and our habits, the things that kind of prevent us from being the people God's called us to be, and realize that through the gift of the Holy Spirit, God has placed within us these powers, these gifts, these fruits of the Spirit through which we can change the world. Last week we talked about agape love, the love child, and that each and every one of us could go out and share the agape love of God. This week we move into joy, and I want to remind you what those gifts are. You're going to get really used to this piece of scripture from Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the powers. Those are the gifts. Those are the fruits that God has already given us. And so with that in mind, will you pray with me as we get ready to move into the word here today? Gracious God, we simply ask that your Holy Spirit would pour out on us now. And give us the eyes to see you in a way maybe we haven't seen you before. Give us the ears to hear your word in a way maybe we've never heard it before. And then God, if it would be your glory today, would you give us joy in our heart so we can go out no matter what is going on around us and be your people. In your name we pray. Amen. There once was an old lady who was sitting on her front porch, and she was rocking back and forth, kind of letting life go by, reflecting back on her life. Could have been her 90th birthday. I don't know. Right? And she was rocking back and forth on the front porch of her house, and a fairy godmother appeared and said, "Today's your lucky day. You get 3 wishes." She thought about it for a minute, and she said, "Oh, the first wish I would want is to be rich. Never have to worry about money again." The fairy godmother said, "No problem. Your wish has been granted." And suddenly that rocking chair turned to pure gold. Second wish, she said, "Oh, wow, as long as it's working out so good, I'd like to go back 60 years and be a beautiful young princess again, if that's okay." The fairy godmother snapped her fingers, and sure enough, there she was, as if the time had just gone back and she was young and vibrant and beautiful. At that time, her cat walked around the corner. She looked at her cat and said, "For my 3rd wish, I was wondering if you could turn my cat into the most handsome prince." Boom. The cat became a prince. Handsome as you could ever imagine. The cat began to walk up to the woman and got up to her, looked at her with that big smile, and then whispered in her ear, "I bet you wish you never had me neutered now." Pretty bad, right, Dave? Pretty bad, pretty bad, pretty bad. You know, when it comes to, like, wishes and happiness, let's just be honest, the joke gets it right. We're going to mess it up every time, right? I mean, there's a whole genre of these 3 wishes jokes. Google them on the internet and you will see list after list of these jokes where somebody shows up to give us 3 wishes. And the punchline varies, but the message is always the same. It doesn't matter. When we're given the choice to choose our own happiness, we're going to mess it up. We think we know what will make us happy, but these jokes suggest that at the end of the day, we might not really know what's going to make us happy. Or the thing we think is going to make us happy ends up not making us happy. Or the thing that we think is going to make us happy ends up messing somebody else's happiness up. I mean, it's like the joke, the 3 wishes joke about the 3 guys who are stranded on a desert island, and they find the bottle, and they take the cork off of it, and the genie comes out of the bottle and says, "I got 3 wishes for you guys." The first guy wishes, "Boy, I could wish anything right now. I would want to be back in back home in Michigan, on Lake Michigan, on the beach." Boom. He was gone. The next guy came to his wish and he said, "Well, if I could wish anything, I wish I could be back home in my New York." Boom. He was gone. The third guy, the genie comes and he goes, Boy, I just wish my friends were here to help me figure out how to use that wish. Right? Happiness. They suggest that when it comes to happiness, we're not quite sure what it is and we're not quite sure how to get it. So let me begin this sermon by saying something. Happiness is overrated. Happiness is overrated. You know, as your pastor, it's my job to tell you the truth and tell you even when it's truth we don't want to hear. And the truth is that God isn't all that interested in our happiness. I mean, I've scoured the scriptures and I can hardly find any places where God promises happiness to his people. I'm sorry. I mean, I really wish it was there, but I've looked and I can't find it. I mean, there's nowhere in the scripture where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will make you happy." Can't find it. There's no, "Blessed are the happy because they will get everything they want." I've looked for it. It's not there. And Jesus didn't say, "Come, follow me, and I will make you happy beyond your wildest dreams." When I look at the scripture, I come to realize that when it comes to happiness, it's not what God is all that interested in. And I think that's a good thing for us to get straight. Because I think we often confuse that. I think we often confuse that God's sole purpose is to provide for my happiness. I mean, can you see the problem with that? If that's what we believe. You see, if we believe our happiness is God's only concern, then what does it mean when we're not happy? It means it's God's fault, right? Or it means that God is mad at me or doesn't care about me. And the logical conclusion to that, and some of you have wondered about this, maybe there's no God at all. So when we confuse happiness as God's sole mission, we set ourselves up for disappointment. So if there's nothing else you remember what I say today, remember that God is not in the happiness business. Because you know the problem with happiness, right? Happiness is fleeting. It's fragile. It's here 1 minute. And it's gone the next. So many things have got to be going right in order for me to be happy. You know, happiness depends on what is happening. And can I just say that many of the things that I need to be happy are simply out of my control. And that's the biggest problem with happiness. When it comes to happiness, it's all about me. It's all about what I need in order to be happy. And what I need to be happy might not be what you need to be happy. And there might not be room enough for my happiness and your happiness to always be taking place at the same time. Because here's what I need in order to be happy. I need the work day to start at 2 p.m. Okay? I need the Detroit Tigers to still be playing in Tiger Stadium. And I need Ernie Harwell to still be calling all of the games. I need Taco Bell to start delivering. And I need ice cream to make me skinny. I need Brett Favre to have retired when he was supposed to have retired. For the team he was supposed to retire from and to never have thought of sending a naked picture to anybody. And I need Michael Jackson to be remembered for the genius that was his music and not the tragedy that was his life. I need Lake Michigan to be right outside of my front door. I need Detroit to be vibrant and the wars to be over and Haiti to be rebuilt. I need the words hunger and poverty and racism and homophobia and hatred and rape and domestic abuse and genocide and cancer and Alzheimer's. I need all of those words to simply be gone from the English language because there's no need for those words anymore because those words no longer exist. And I want my mom back. If not forever, just for one day. You see, there's a lot that I need in order to make me happy. And maybe my list doesn't jive with your list. So there's no way God can be in the business of providing happiness for almost 7 billion souls. So can we just let God off the hook today when it comes to our happiness? Because you see, God has given us something richer, something deeper, something that's going to last a whole lot longer than our happiness. God has given us the gift of joy. Of joy. Joy, it's the second fruit of the Spirit. And as we've been talking about, God has already given us that gift. That joy has already been given to you and to me. It already lives in us. We already have the capacity to experience it right now, no matter what's going on in our lives. So let's talk about what joy is, because it's different than happiness. If you go to the Greek, the word for joy is chara, where the word for happiness is that word, and I can't say it. They're different words. So in the gift of the Spirit, God didn't give us the gift of happiness. God gives us the gift of joy. And that word chara is the same root word that we use in Greek for the word grace, which is charis. So joy and grace are more in common than joy and happiness. And what is grace? Grace is God's gift of love and blessing and relationship given to us freely, not because of who we are or of what we have done. But God gives us grace because of who God is, because of what God has done. So if joy is like grace and not like happiness, it's this sense of well-being and fulfillment that's not dependent on what's happening, but on what's already happened. And what's already happened? God's given us the gift of Jesus Christ. Jesus has already come and lived among us. Jesus died in order to save us. Jesus rose again so that we might. And then the miracle of all miracles, Jesus took his Spirit and he put it in you and he put it in me. That has already happened, and it doesn't matter what's happening. Nothing can change that. Jesus has lived, died, and rose again and poured his Spirit out into us. That has already happened. And nothing, not bad days, not bad bosses, not bad breaks, not bad traffic, not bad health, not bad quarterbacks, not bad economy, not bad government, not bad marriages, not even bad breath can change any of that. You and I have the capacity for joy right now in our life, no matter what else is happening. Joy is the understanding that no matter what else is happening around me, it doesn't have to affect what's happening inside of me. Let me say that again. Joy is this understanding that it doesn't matter what's happening around me, it doesn't have to affect what's happening inside of me. That's joy. Joy is the state of being that God has placed into us, no matter what else is happening. Hear what Paul says in the letter to the Philippians about, that's not Paul, right? Here's what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. That's what joy means. It's never forgetting that the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, by prayer and petition, by prayer and begging, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, rejoice always. Have joy always. He doesn't say be happy always. He says have joy always. You can be sad and not lose your joy. You can be stressed and not lose your joy. You can be in a hospital room and not lose your joy. Don't worry about anything, Paul says, because God is in it. The Lord is near. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. When I feel like I'm losing my joy, I turn to God in prayer and say, God, I can't control any of this. I'm just going to give it to you. And then I'm going to go to sleep tonight, because I'm just going to trust you're going to take care of it. And my joy stays intact. And then guess what happens? Paul says when we do that, when we're able to give it back to God, something's going to happen. He says you're going to get a peace that surpasses all understanding. Don't you want that peace? Haven't you experienced that peace? Don't you know someone when everything seemed to be falling down around them, they still had this peace? Friends, it's called joy. And God's already given it to you. And God's already given it to me. And it doesn't matter what's happening around us or what's already happened to us or what might happen to us in the future. Nothing can change that. Nothing. God has already given it to us. I know what you're saying. That's some good preaching up there, preacher. They sure taught you good in that seminary school of yours. All those fancy Greek words and all that stuff. You don't really believe that, do you? Believe it. I've seen it. It was the day I had me some church. Now, don't be confused with I went to church, because this has nothing to do with the story glass painted with the faces of ancient saints. No, it was a day I had church. And it didn't take place in a sanctuary or a chapel, not a temple, an ashram, or a mosque. No, that day I had some church in a small white-walled room 7 stories up in the central tower of the William Beaumont Hospital. I was there to visit Dee. You guys remember Dee? Dee Arugio. Her body was blackened and blued. Her red inner lip was red. It was the visible effects of 10 weeks of going toe-to-toe with that which exists for the sole purpose of destruction. So small talk didn't come easy that day. Trivial conversation was just that. I carried in my hand a small black box. In it were a stack of plastic cups and a bottle half filled of Welch's grape juice and a few crumbs of white Wonder Bread. We pushed back the table that was filled with airbrushed sentiments of sympathy and support, the bottles half filled with pills, the orange juice glasses half full or half empty. Also that we could make room for this simple setting where the symbolism of suppers last and suppers and bread broken and the cups filled with the lifeblood of hope could mingle with the hums and beeps that connected the tubes to her arm. Blessed are you when your spirit is poor, and when you need mercy, and when you suffer. You see, suddenly the strangeness of those blessings wasn't so strange. And we closed our eyes and folded our hands and wrapped our words in the humility we called prayer. And suddenly, from the mouth of this one who had been weakened by the alien invader that had taken up residence in her chest, she summoned the strength to say 2 words. Thank you. Of all the words she could have said, these were the ones that come from the one who sat in the cancerous crosshairs. And suddenly I had to sit there while the wetness was rolling down my cheeks. And I had to listen to her count her blessings one after the other, saying those two words over and over and over again until suddenly time stood on its head and the true nature of healing had been revealed. We got to that spot where we could have sung, "It was well with my soul," and we could have meant it. We got to that spot where she could pick up everything she needed to pick up and set down everything she needed to set down. She could have forgiven everyone who needed to have forgiveness that day because she knew exactly where it was she was going, even though she had no idea where that was. Was that room a happy room that day? No. But was it overfilled with joy? Absolutely. And suddenly a peace. Descended on that place that was simply beyond understanding. That is the gift that God has given to you and to me. Joy isn't dependent on what is happening, but on what has already happened. Don't let what's happening around you steal what God has done inside of you. For we have been given the gift of joy. It's our superpower through which we can go out and change the world. In a world that's hell-bent on trying to find happiness, we've got something different to share with them. We've got the gift of joy. And there's no other way to end a service about joy than to sing that song, that Christmas song. We aren't going to have the candles here, but we're going to sing Joy to the World today. And so I invite you to stand now and let's sing it in July so it has new meaning in our lives the rest of the year.